One time, I was dressed up as a cowboy. You know, the hat, the boots, the belt, the jeans, the shirt. And they said one thing to me, don't open your mouth because then you give it away. You ain't around from here. And the other thing, I was a coach, a little soccer coach. And I told people what to do, and they wouldn't do it. And then Jason Toon would stand up and say, hey, he meant throw the ball in. So Jason was almost my translator when we were partnering with soccer. Yeah, the other thing is what God has given me, the gift of encouragement. And I was asking God, so God, what's the calling about my life? What is it, what do you want me to do? Because I cannot preach every Sunday. You wouldn't sit here when I would be a pastor. And what is it? And God says, I want you to be an encourager. So this morning, if you could picture me as a sumo wrestler, I don't just have the muscles and the weight for it, but I want to push you closer to God as when you came through those doors. This is my goal for this morning. And the cool thing is that we have an awesome God. You know, last Sunday, Daniel was bragging about his daughter. You know, you saw her all over. And he was so excited about her, and he was talking about it, and he was giving demonstrations and all that. Now, if an earthly father can be like this about his daughter, how much more the heavenly one about you? Because he paid an incredible price for you, and he wants you to get it. And I want you, I'm trying to get you there. Lord, I want to thank you for this morning, and I just pray for your presence, Lord. I pray that you come, and I pray that you reveal yourself in Jesus' name. The other thing, what I'm going to do now is, as a foreigner, I can do this because I have a little leverage on you guys. I want to tell you how cool the United States is. Because when you look through history, you've never seen a superpower destroying their enemy and then rebuild them. But this is what you did. We as Germans, we needed a little bit of shaking up and directions. But you didn't leave us there. But you showed mercy and generousness. And you rebuilt us. And we are the nation today because thanks of you. And it's an incredible privilege for me to live here. You know, when we fly into the United States, there's an incredible generousness there. There's mercy. There's compassion. You know, if you don't have your paper all filled out when you go through immigrations, then a lot of times I've seen mercy than justice. And especially what you've done for West Germany, because our country is going through a transition. And last year, there was 1 million immigrants came in to Germany. West Germany could receive them because they know what mercy looked like when they needed it. The interesting thing is, the Eastern Germany has more difficulty, because they didn't experience the mercy and the grace that we as West Germany experience. So be proud of your country. I'm going to talk to you about Gideon. Gideon was a man just like you, or a woman just like you, had difficulties, had problems, and he was basically, they were in slavery. When we start reading Judges is kind of one of the books at the beginning of the Bible. Verse 11, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak of Ophrah that belongs to Josh the Abusiter. There his son Gideon was thrashing the wheat in the winepress to keep it from the Midian eaters. The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." This is what God says to you today. The Lord is with you. The Lord is for you. The Lord has a plan for you. And sometimes we just answer like Gideon. Gideon says, "Pardon me, Lord." Gideon replied, "But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hands of the Midianites." Sometimes it's like us. God tells you how he sees you, and you say, "Wait a minute. Don't you know my circumstances? Don't you know what all happened to me? I think you must not be on the radar." And the millennials would say, "You got the wrong email address. I'm not a part of that." But this is what we do. If God speaks to us, we look around. Who he told us? He wants me to do what? Does anybody else have done that? No. Do you know Mercy Ship? This is where I work. The founder of Mercy Ship, do you know this wasn't a captain? It wasn't a sailor either. It was a cowboy from Colorado that God told him, "Buy that ship." And his friend says, "I don't think this will work out. I don't think this is, God's really into it, you know." But you know, today we change the nations. We are invited by so many nations from the west coast of Africa. They beg us and says, "Come and help us. We welcome you." Why? Because somebody did what God has called them to do. And God wants to encourage you to do what he has called you to do. And most of the time, it's beyond your imagination. It's beyond what you think could be done. But you know, this is when you know God is in it. Because he doesn't want that you get a big head. And he wants you to live in dependency of him to go through that. I was just talking to somebody. We bought the ship, the Africa Mercy, and we put it in dry dock in England. And what happened? The dry dock company with our ship bankrupt. Then you can say, okay, this show is over. But we didn't stop. And I was, when we finished the African Mercy, I was there in the dry dock. And I went to the airport in Newcastle, and I was talking to a young lady, and this young lady said to me, "Yeah, do you know what? I drive by this port every day, and I've seen this ship now 3 years, and it's never moved. Something is wrong with that ship." And I said, "Okay, God, what is up with that?" And God told me this. He said, "Stefan, when I go fishing, I don't go with the reel and a line. I take a net." And do you know what the cool thing was? When that ship went out of port, guess who was on the deck of that ship, on board of the ship? Was BBC doing their weather forecast. And you know what? You could see it in Kabul. This is when we do the things that God has for us. He wants you to think big. Don't look at yourself. Don't look what you can do. Just say, "Okay, God, if that's you, I need some confirmation." And so the same thing is with Gideon. And then Gideon is funny because he thinks God doesn't know where he's from. So he said, "Okay, God, let me educate you a little bit. Gideon says, but how can I save Israel? I'm not a strategist. I don't know how to do that. And then he said, like, if God wouldn't know that. He says, do you know my clan, my family is the least of them. And I am the Benjamin. Nobody even knows me. So he makes sure that God understands all his circumstances. And that he in his mind can really accomplish that. But then God says to him, I'll be with you. And you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. An incredible encouragement in the circumstances that he's in. Sometimes we let the circumstances dictate our future. Or we go like Gideon in the past that says, yeah, you know, when I was in junior high, I prayed once and God answered my prayer. This was pretty cool. And then my grandmother, she was praying for me too, and something happened there. This was also pretty awesome. And yeah, my grandpa, they told him that he was a big prayer warrior and he was awesome. And sometimes we live in the past, but God does not want us to live in the past. He wants us to live in the future and in the present. And he has gifted you with gifting that reflect his character and that you have a DNA that nobody else has. And God wants you to use this DNA to further the kingdom. And when you do it, you will have fun in it. But sometimes we don't believe it. And we say, oh yeah, God told me this, but I don't know. Seems like impossible. And I don't even know how I should move forward. And we become a couch potato. But God doesn't want us to be couch potatoes. He wants us to be reflectors of him. You know, God has given me this picture one time. He said, Stefan, I want you to be a mirror. That mirror had Windex before I shined on it. And when I shine on you as a mirror, you will blind people because of my presence. But you know, sometimes we are those mirrors, they're a little dusted. And when the light shines on it, it doesn't have any reflection. But this is what God wants. And he is able to get us there. And then this is where Gideon kicks in with faith. A lot of times what we do by that point, we say, oh, it's impossible. We look at our circumstances. And we do this. We put the car in reverse. And we park it there. But you know what? I want you to leave today that you threw out the reverse out of the window because you don't believe it anymore. Because God wants you to move forward and not backwards. He wants you to know him in such a way that you cannot wait for the new things he's going to tell you. And you get so excited because you have a past record, how God has used you in the past, that going in the future is not like a snail, but like a deer that runs. And I want you to get there. So this is what Gideon says. If I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that is really you talking to me. So God tells us things to do. And we all do that. We look around. Who has done that? Well, maybe I should call the pastor. Maybe it's a weird idea I have. Or we Google it. Somebody ever done this? No. Okay. Must be not the real deal. But what God wants us to say, what God wants, hey, I give you confirmation that I'm with you. I give you confirmation, buy this old ship, and I will make something happen out of this ship that would change the nations. You know, we as Mercy Sheep, we're just guys like you. But We want to see the kingdom of God brought through us to people that need that, and that people's lives will be changed. In July, I'm going to a country that has 87% Muslims. And you know what they say? Please come and help us. Please come. We welcome you. But you know why? Not because on the side of the ship says, if you're not saved, you go to hell. It's there because we serve them in ways that it's unbelievable. The surgeries we do, nobody else can do it. And we bring hope where there is no hope. And we open doors that are normally shut. And the enemy knows that too. And the enemy doesn't want 450 crew members strolling into his kingdom. And so there's conflict. And when you don't have conflict in your life, you need to ask yourself, am I on the right track or am I a little bit off? Because when we push back darkness, that light can come in, we will encounter problems. I've taken missionary trips out, I don't know, 40 or maybe 50 by now, I have lost count. And every time I go, my poor wife calls me and says, Stefan, by the way, you left, and somehow the commode got plugged up. And it didn't stop in the bathroom, it went over to the other room. And there's 2 inches of water standing there. And it's 11 o'clock because I watched my son's basketball game. So I had to go to Walmart and find a vacuum cleaner to clean this all up. Does it mean we stop there? No. My wife and I, it becomes a joke by now because we experienced it so many times. But it doesn't mean that we go backwards. No, because we are taking away enemy's territory. And God wants you to become a man and a woman that knows him, knows when he's talking to you, and move forward. And sometimes the moving forward is hard. And it's difficult. But how do you think you're going to grow in your walk with God? You don't grow by eating potatoes and sitting on a couch. But walking the things that God has called you out. Last summer, or 2 years ago, I called my friend in Germany. And because we play a game that the East Texans are not very familiar, so I'll give you a little bit of European and world education here. It's called soccer. The rest of the world likes it. Americans, not so much. It took me years to understand football, and we don't even go with baseball, and all your baseball friends, I'm sorry when I offend you a little bit here. So my son played for the Lindale High School soccer team, and I called up my friend in Germany and said, you know what? Let's make a soccer outreach. And he said, yeah, we can do that. And his wife is from Latvia. So I said, why don't you go and find a place in Latvia where we can make this happen? You know. So he went every day, every year he's going for his vacation to Latvia. And he came back to me and said, Stefan, I found a place we can host this team there. I said, okay. And, you know, I don't have any roots in Lindale. So I'm not the mayor, I don't have anything to say. And people hardly know me, and then just know me because I walk the dog, and some at my work, they call me the German, and this is basically my tag that I wear. And so I said, how are we going to do this? So I went to the soccer booth meeting, and we passed out flyers and said, we want to do this outreach in Latvia. And I said, okay, God, I need some confirmation that this will work because I don't really know if that's working. And then I have a friend who has a company in Dallas, and the second week in March, they always have a little get-together over in Pine Cove. And so I went over there, And his company gives a lot of money into missions, so I went there and said, you know what, I'm going to plan the soccer outreach to Latvia, and I have some players that would like to come, but I know that dad's wallet and the price for that don't match. Could you help us a little bit? And so he answered me, and he said, okay. A couple of days later, my wife wrote a nice email and all that. A couple of days later, he answered, and he said, I sponsor 3 kids. Now, if you know me a little bit, I'm not very good organized. And when I do things, I just say, let's just do that and see how it works. And so this is what's with the price. I came up, it can't be more than $1,500, the whole trip. And then I went to the travel agent and they asked for a price. And they said, yeah, we can fly you for $1,500. I said, hey, no, it has to be less than that. Because this is the total, it means with room and board and everything. So I said, okay, God, how can we do that? And God reminded me, call that travel agent. And they flew us there for $930 per person. And then we said, okay, how can we raise funds? And I said, somebody said, we can have a car wash at Fred's. So we, on this one Saturday, we had a big car wash at Fred's. And we collected like $400. And people said to me, do you know what? I washed a lot of cars. That person, not so much. And other people said, but I was standing and keeping the sign on 69. Here's the car wash. So here you have that money. And you say, what are we going to do with that? And so I said, praying, Lord, help me with this money. Because if I divide it up, probably some people will be mad or think like they don't get a deal with that and all that. And guess what? The insurance, the health insurance for this trip was this amount. So another confirmation. We do the right thing. Then I worked for a very wealthy businessman who has a lot of properties over at Van. And I did some electrical work for him. And then on Saturday, I went to his house and gave him the bill. And then I said, I want to ask you a question. And he said, yeah, I already know you want to go fishing on one of my lakes. I said, no. I was wondering, I'm going to take this soccer team to Latvia, and I was wondering if you want to sponsor it. And he's like a typical Texan. He kind of looks at me and said, what are you playing? Soccer? Isn't that not the sissy sport? And where is that? Latvia? I never heard of it. So I was in one of those church services here, and I walked out there, and the Holy Spirit started talking to me and said, Stefan, this guy will call you. I said, no, he won't. We didn't talk about God. We talked about money. So sure enough, on Tuesday, he calls me. And he makes always a little fun, and he says to me, Stefan, I want to sponsor this mission trip that you do in West Texas. I said, yeah, if you go far enough west, you probably end up where we're going. And then he says to me, I want to give you $8.50. And so it's a good start. And then he gave me $5,000. You know? But when we do these things that God wants us to do, the enemy also will kick in. So I had my translator. I talked to her. And she said this to me. She says, Stefan, I don't think this Latvia trip is from God. I said, how come? I said, you know what? I believe when we do the things of God, everything runs smooth. I said, where have you been? I don't think you know this book very well. When we do the things of God, the enemy is trying to discourage us wherever he can. And he's trying to rob everything because he knows as soon as we lounge in the things that God, he will lose ground. And the kingdom will be pushed forward. So what happened? I said, here I have the money, and you quit on me. You cannot quit on me. And you just have to go through it. And I tried to do whatever. And so she came on board, and we went there. So now the funniest story comes. So we fly from Dallas to New York and from New York to Helsinki. And I was the first one out of the plane. And we go in this bus who brings us to the little propeller airplane that with that one we fly to Riga. So I'm in the bus taking picture, and finally, 2 years in making, finally the things happen, and I'm super excited. And so I think, okay, I go out last, like the shepherd, his sheep, moves him along. So I go out last, and I go in this little airplane, and I'm in the middle aisle, and I think, Schmidt, something is not right. So I look, whoa. I got my bag. Oh no, I forgot my backpack in the bus. With my green card, so now coming back to the United States, with all my credit cards and with a bunch of cash. So I run to the stewardess and say, hey, can we stop that plane? I got their backpack in there. Nope, we're ready to go. And off we went. It was the longest 45 minutes plane ride for me. I get out, I call right away, lost and found, and they're like, well, maybe you call back tomorrow. So I brought everybody there, and we got the team settled down, and the next day, my wife kept the cool all day. She knew what happened. And at the end of the day, she said, Stefan, you have to at least call the immigration and tell them that you lost your green card, because you cannot even go back to the United States then. By that time, I was one of the best customer in Helsinki lost and found. And the answer was always, no backpack. So then my wife and I prayed. And what also happened in when I woke up in the first night there, you feel that, of course, that's a heyday for the enemy, because the enemy wants to remind you that you are a loser, and that you don't have it together. And so I had this conversation with God at 3 a.m, and I said, God, I need you to give me some confirmation. And the Lord said to me, read Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. And I said, okay, I have something to stand on now. So after I talked with my wife, and I said, okay, I'm going to call them one more time to find out the number from the bus company who transport the people back and forth. So I called them and lost and found. They already knew who I was. And they say, yeah, there is some backpack that came. There's a blue rain jacket. And I said, oh, it sounds pretty good. To make a long story short, it was all there. And before I flew to Germany, they brought the backpack to me with everything in it. These young people that I took, this was a testimony that God is for us. Even when we make horrible mistakes, God is the one who we can rely on. And my encouragement for you today is, when God tells you to do something, you can ask, God, help me. And he will. But I want you to get rid of your reverse. And I want you not to live in your snail house anymore. I want you to walk the things that God has for you, because he wants to reveal himself through that in you, and that you get to know him better. When David came on the battlefield with Goliath, he knew who he was, but the rest of the soldier didn't. So when Goliath comes up, they're all running, and David is all by himself and says, hey, what happened? What's going on here? Because he knew who he was, and you need to know who you are, and you don't have to be afraid. This is why the whole thing about Gideon, even when Gideon got promises after promises and he's in a big fight against the Midianites and he's overwhelmed because he looks at the crowd and he's totally overwhelmed. And God says, go down there and tell them, listen to what just happened. So he's going down there, and they talk about the dream that they have. And they say, this is the army of Gideon. They're going to get us. And then what happened with Gideon? You cannot Google that. You cannot read any books about that. The way he attacked was he had three different places. And they had a trumpet, they had the pitcher, and they had a fire inside. And they smashed it together and blew the trumpet, and those guys started peeing in their pants and ran. Because the presence of God was with them. And when you guys move forward in the things that God has called you to do, the enemy will run. But before he runs, he's trying to hinder you to take the land that God has promised you. And I want to encourage you this morning, when you have off tomorrow, in the morning, don't look at the television, don't take your phone, but say, God, it's my day off. What do you want me to do? I want to find out what you have for me. Because I don't know about you. And I'm a little skeptic about you. And it's okay. But I want you to have testimonies about God's faithfulness in your life. And how you have been overcomer and a conqueror. And people look at you and says, there's something different with these people. And you can tell them, I have a God who's unbelievable cool. And I'm sorry for you that you don't know him. But if you walk with me, you get to know him. And then you don't want anything else.